You are listening to The Riding, NFL DFS Podcast with Pat James.
Welcome, everybody, to The Ride in DFS and Betting Podcast for the PGA Championship 2022 Southern Hills, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Really an unfamiliar venue, hasn't been played in over a decade. So, you know, there's really no strokes gain stats. There are no proximity buckets. You know, we don't know that a third of the approaches come from 200 plus yards or anything like that. We do have the scorecard. We know how many. We know that there's a lot of par four holes from 450 to 500. We know that there are par three holes that are at 225 plus. There's been a host of interviews with caddies, superintendents, course management guys that are familiar with the place, that say it is going to be kind of windy, that say it's going to obviously play firm and fast like any major championship. It's going to be a long test for these guys. 7,500 yards is long in and of itself, but the fact that there are only two par fives making it a par 70 makes it a little bit longer. It's a little bit deceiving, though, because the par fives are just absolute treks, and then everything else is, you know, somewhat normal in terms of hole yardage. There's a ton of holes from 450 to 500. One par four that's pretty long, that's over 500 yards. But the two par fives are really bombs, which kind of even makes them, you know, three shot holes for most guys. So we have to look at all those things. So the model takes a look at, obviously, strokes gained off the tee and driving distance. I did a little combo stat there because I want guys who are gaining strokes off the tee, but I also want them to be gaining strokes off the tee because they can get the ball out there a little bit. So what I did was did a little bit of strokes gained off the tee, and also I wanted guys that were inside of at least the top half of the field in driving distance, right? I just wanted them better than average. And I'm gonna take a look at guys that are, you know, give some consideration. There's one player who has not driven the ball very far lately, but isn't someone that you would consider a short hitter by any means. We'll talk about him in a second. Obviously, approach and opportunities gained, current form. So strokes gained around the green is going to be important here. And, you know, there's going to be a multitude of quote-unquote around the green shots, right? A lot of the areas are shaved down. There is going to be some rough. I think you just have to have a somewhat of an all-around game here. I do think, depending on how this event plays out, different players will pop, and I'll kind of talk about, you know, building lineups where, you know, this guy is a mutter, right? He wants to get into a slugfest. He wants the, you know, the winning score to be, you know, 6 under, 7 under, whereas there's some guys that want the winning score to be 12 under, 14 under. Do I think it gets to that at Southern Hills? I don't know. You know, I can't even say. I think what we have to do DraftKings-wise is kind of play both sides of the aisle and, you know, create lineups that if you think it's going to be somewhat gettable, you can play certain guys. If you think it's going to be, you know, more of a very difficult course, you could play some other guys. And then there's guys that you could play on either one. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. My card, I've already bet Colin Morikawa, Hideki Matsuyama, Brooks Koepka, Cameron Young, and DJ. So that those are the five. That's probably the five that I'm sticking with. In terms of the model top 10, let's talk about the model top 10. Let me pull up the card. Number one, believe it or not, I tweeted this out a few days ago when I was crunching all the numbers. Cameron Young comes out as number one. Obviously, not a ton of experience on tour, but just seems to really suit Southern Hills. His game is suited for Southern Hills, period. Do I think he's going to win? No. Am I going to bet him at 80-1, which is kind of too short, really? Yes. I'll probably always bet the guy who pops number one in models, unless it's like, you know, JT or Rahm at like 8-1 or something like that. But I like Cameron Young. Jordan Spieth comes number two. And if you know anything about Jordan Spieth, coming number two in a statistical model is something that he usually does not do. But he has been playing out of his mind. And you know that my model is weighted based on recency, right? And, you know, so any of his shortcomings 24 rounds ago, 36 rounds ago, 50 rounds ago, is negated by how well he has played in the last three or four tournaments. So Spieth is number two. Number three is Hideki Matsuyama. No, excuse me. Number three is JT. Four is Hideki. Five, Xander Schauffele. Six, Scotty. Seven, Shane Lowry. Eight, Victor Hovland. Nine, Max Homa. 10, Sebastian Munoz. So in addition to Morikawa, DJ, Hideki, Brooks, and Young as outrights, my first round leader stabs are going to be Aaron Wise, Charles Schwartzel, Sebastian Munoz, and Cam Young. And my place bets, all top 40, all plus money, are Cam Young, Sebastian Munoz, Charles, Max Homa, and Aaron Wise. So this is one of those weeks where I don't have a real spread out betting pool, right? Like most of the guys that I'm betting for first round leader are the guys that I'm betting for top 40, are the guys that are in the top 10 of the model, are the guys that I'll probably have the most of in DraftKings, right? So this is a week where if things go right, they go right. They go wrong, it's kind of a wash. Forgot to mention, we hit the 85-1 first round leader on solo first round leader, no ties, no dead heats. Solo first round leader on Sebastian Munoz, 85-1. Coming off a Kurt Kitayama dead heat chop first round leader. But the first round leaders are buzzing. We got two in a row. On top of the four outrights to this point in the year. So, you know, we're cooking. I have a good feeling about this. I have a good feeling about Southern Hills. Let's get into the player pool at the very, very top. I don't know if you heard that, but my dog just hacked up a bone or something. He's a couple rooms away. So I don't know if the mic picked that up, but he definitely just projectile hacked some kibble across the room. Hopefully my wife is taking care of that. At the very top, Justin Thomas. He is third in the model. I think, you know, he's been playing so good, right? He is currently seventh in form. He obviously hits the ball off the tee. The only thing is he could be erratic with the driver, right? So I am going to be on JT, but you have to be aware that the driver can get wonky. He can just start losing balls left and right, and that's not going to be good here. You want to be in the fairway, that's for sure. But I mean, his approaches have been unbelievable. Sixth in approach. And then, you know, his putting has actually come around the last few tournaments. He's looked like a good putter. They've been bent grass greens the last few tournaments, and he's looked good on those bent grass greens. So I definitely think that JT is poised for another high finish like last week. Obviously, Colin Morikawa. I think that's going to be a really nice spot for low ownership this week. Statistically, he hasn't been amazing. We know what we're going to get from Colin Morikawa, right? He's going to hit the ball off the tee straight, and he's, you know, above that 60 mark in driving distance in the field, so we're okay there. He is going to absolutely pure irons, but when he does miss the green, does he get up and down? And when he's on the green, when he has a green in reg, when he's slapping those opportunities gained, like he's seventh in opportunities gained, he is always firing at pins. But is he making the putts? All right. That's how Colin Morikawa goes about his business. when you sort by difficult courses, right? If you take my statistical model and filter just by difficult courses, right? You weed out the easy courses, you weed out the at quote unquote average courses. So only tournaments that finished, I'm not sure exactly what Fantasy National, you know, what barometers they use, but I would guess it's probably like only tournaments that have finished at eight to 10 under. Morikawa pops to number one. And it makes sense, right? At these tournaments where the scores are not super low, like 25 under, 30 under, even, you know, 16, 18, 20 under, what does a typical round look like? It's guys who are hitting greens and treading water, or potentially, you know, getting up and down and are pretty magical around the greens. But when you only need to be 6 under, 8 under, he doesn't have to be an amazing putter. So I don't mind Morikawa in a slugfest type lineup. I also really like pairing Morikawa with a guy like Jordan Spieth, right? Because also a bad putter, also a guy that can get up and down from around the greens, he's probably going to be someone who, if he's contending, it's because it's not a very high-scoring event. Now, as I say that, he just contended in an event where the score was extremely low, but I think Spieth specifically will benefit from, you know, a tread water, just get up and down, maybe make some magical putts here and there. So I like Spieth in the 9K range. So the whole 9K range for me is pretty deep, right? My philosophy this week is going to be pretty big into the 9K range. I actually have a lot of guys from 85 and up. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 guys from 85 and up. And then my core under that is a little bit tighter, but we'll talk about the guys in descending order here. So in the 9K range, I like Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Xander, Hideki, and Brooks. Let's talk about why. So we mentioned Jordan. Obviously, I mean, he's top 10 in the last 12 rounds. Off the tee, approach, around the green, the par 4 yardage bucket, overall form, and opportunities gained. He's absolutely in amazing form. And outside of an atrocious putting week, I don't think we see, you know, Jordan Spieth falter much. I think he's going to be there on Sunday. You know, maybe not in the lead, or maybe not. Maybe he doesn't even have a shot on Sunday. But he's going to be there. You know, he'll be lurking on the leaderboard at the very least, and that's what I think. So DJ, he's another guy that if you sort by par 70, if you sort by difficult, pops right to the top. Not as good as two other guys I'm going to talk about in a second, though. But DJ, definitely difficult, long, championship-style courses. DJ is definitely a fit. He's not a guy who recently has looked good. He's not a guy that's going to pop in anybody's models. But I did bet him. I mean, we know that he hits the ball far. We know that he can get hot. And we know that he has the ability to contend in these types of tournaments. 25-1. I pulled the trigger on him. That even might be a little too short, but it was the best number I could find. I like DJ. I just have DJ's more of a gut feeling this week for me. Xander absolutely exploded on the weekend at the Byron Nelson. Went 18 under, looked amazing, basically made the cut on the number, and then almost won the dang thing. Was in the clubhouse in first for a good bit. So he is first from the 200 plus proximity range, third in opportunities gained, and then top 20 in a bunch of other things. He's peaking at the right time, kind of. Same thing with Spieth, peaking at the right time. Like Xander at that 9,300 number. Hideki, have a bet in on Hideki. I think a lot of people have a bet in on Hideki. I saw, like, you know, the golf checker, golf tips checker, golf heads, whatever they are. They have a pie chart, and Hideki had a big piece of the pie. I'm kind of surprised, but I think he dropped at a pretty long number that I didn't get. I got him at 30, but I know some people have been talking about getting him at 40 or even longer than that, which is awesome. I didn't pull the trigger that early. The only issue with Hideki here is going to be the driver. So normally he does gain strokes off the tee better than, you know, better than average, but he doesn't always hit the ball a long way, which could be an issue. However, he is an amazing long iron player. He is also unbelievable with his woods. I mean, we've seen him, we saw him stick at the end of the Byron Nelson. He stuck a 5-wood to like 6 feet, needed it. And he also beat Russell Henley at the Sony with like a 270-yard 3-wood to a foot. So if you're that accurate from 200-plus, distance isn't always going to be a massive concern, especially since we said and we know that a good chunk of the distance is on two of the par fives. But right, he's top 10 in form, top 10 in opportunities gained, top 10 in the 200-plus approaches, top 10 in the 200-plus approach, and top 10 in approach overall. Love Hideki. And Hideki and Brooks, who I'm about to talk about, are two guys that when you sort by difficult par 70, long and difficult par 70 courses, they absolutely, their stats just shoot right to the top. DJ too, but more so Brooks and Hideki. I mean, it is an absolute, and so Brooks is kind of like DJ in the fact that, you know, this is a, it's a major, it's a difficult course, it's a championship course. He's going to show up, he's going to play, hasn't really played well. You know, he's on social media saying he feels great. All the buzz is that he's playing, you know, well there. We know that he hits the ball far. We know that he can stick approaches, like all these skills that he hasn't been displaying impeccably recently, we know that he has in his bag. And given the stage, and given the fact that, you know, these difficult long par 70s, he's always played well, I'm on Brooks. And obviously I'm on Hideki based on what I just said there. Let's drop into the 8K range. I have three guys in the 8K range: Shane Lowry, Joaquin Neiman, Max Homa. Let me start with Max Homa. So he cracks the model top 10. He is nice off the tee, right? Max always gains strokes off the tee. He's seventh in approach, second in the par four yardage buckets, and then a bunch of other things are top 20. A bunch of other stat categories, like he hits the ball far. Overall form is solid. I mean, obviously, he's coming off a W. He's a really good bent grass putter. He has struggled around the greens recently. But listen, if he's gonna be so solid on approach like he has been, that he's, you know, gaining greens in regulation, he might not need the around the green as much. So I do like Max Homa. Joaquin Neiman. Neiman was a tough pull for me. But I think Neiman, like Morikawa, like Spieth, is going to be solid if it is a real grind. Because he's solid around the greens. He's a decent putter, even though he did not putt well last week. Man, he missed it. That last, basically just in the last round, was terrible. He had a couple 3 putts that just crushed his round. But I think, you know, he's 11th in strokes gained off the tee, 19th in driving distance, 6th in the par 4 yardage, and most importantly, or not most importantly, but most notably, 26th in around the green play, right? So he can get up and down. I like Neiman. I like Morikawa. I like Spieth in that kind of, you know, 6-under, 8-under type absolute, like grind of a tournament. Speaking of which, and I know a lot of you guys follow me on Twitter, but the club that I play at hosted a U.S. Open qualifier yesterday on Monday. I played in a member tournament. It was like a stroke play type thing on Saturday. And Sunday, I also played.
And let me tell you, playing on a course that is being readied for, you know, the best local talent or the best talent within, like, I mean, you know, I actually wasn't able to get up there and watch any of the guys play, but, you know, guys drive 2, 3, 4 hours to play in these qualifiers just to qualify. But let me tell you, it's a humbling experience to play on a course that is being readied for a U.S. Open qualifier. The greens were basically like putting on a basketball court. So the rough was up as well. I mean, if you hit your tee shot astray, good luck. It was basically, if you could find it, it was basically like a penalty stroke anyway, because you could only hack it like 20 yards into the fairway. So yeah, it was humbling. I shot about 12 strokes higher than normal. Yikes. I mean, it just makes you appreciate what, and you know, the guy who went out and qualified shot like 5 under and made it look easy, which is just ridiculous. But anyway, that is the 8K range, Lowry, Neiman, and Homa. In the 7K range, obviously we're going to Cam Young first in the model. Listen, here's the thing. Here's what I know. I know he's never played a course as tough as Southern Hills will play, most likely, in his life. The field is very strong, but I don't see how he doesn't top 40. I don't see how Cam Young doesn't top 40, and I'm pretty sure it's a plus money bet. It is a plus money bet. I like it. I have him outright. I have him to be the first round leader. I have him the top 40. He's a flag plant. Cam Young, he's 8th off the tee, 6th in driving distance, 2nd in opportunities gained, 5th in the par 4 ranges, 7th in the par 3 ranges, 11th at 200 plus approaches, 1st around the green. I mean, the only thing that he really hasn't done is putt well consistently. So maybe it's one of those weeks. Maybe he has a Morikawa week where he gains strokes everywhere and just, you know, 2 putts everything, 3, I mean, has a couple 3 putts, can't really put circles on the card and doesn't finish well. But even still, if he does that, I think he makes the cut and at least contends for a top 40. So I think top 40 Cam Young is my favorite bet this week. And I mean, I'm playing him on DraftKings. I have him all over the place. You can blame me or come back at me if it doesn't work out for you, because he's definitely someone I'm interested in. Matt Fitzpatrick, another guy, 16th around the green. He's a good putter. He's 10th in form. He's 21st off the tee. He hits the ball a decent way. I think he contends, especially if it is a more difficult slugfest. So there's like a lineup there that we just created, like a difficult. I don't know if the salaries fit. Maybe we'll figure out a 6K guy to play. Morikawa, Spieth. Those are 2 expensive guys. But then we'll drop all the way down. Who do we sit? Neiman. Fitzpatrick. So that's a solid. I mean, maybe you could throw Cam Young in there if he fits. And then this next guy, Charl. I like Charl this week. I really do like Schwartzel. He seems to always contend in these difficult events. He's really good off the tee. He's going to gain strokes off the tee. He's deceptively long. For a guy that's been around a while, he's top 25 in the par 4 yardage bucket, 200 plus, hits his long irons really well. Good around the green, just not a great putter. So maybe we'll throw him in like the slugfest, quote unquote, type lineup. Like Charles, he's in the 6,900. I'm getting ahead of myself here. So we got Fitzpatrick in the 7K, Cam Young in the 7K. The other 2 guys I like are Tom Hoagie and Alex Noren. Hoagie is 1st in that par 4 yardage range. His approaches have been stellar. He's 16th in opportunities gained. He's solid around the green as well. He's 17th. Around the green, so I like Tom Hoagie. Alex Noren, I think he's going to be popular, so I don't know if I love him. I guess I'll have to look closer tomorrow at, you know, the projected ownership. He's going to be like 25% owned or something crazy like that, because he's like everybody's favorite guy at 7K. No thanks. But I do think he has the ability to contend here. Him and Charl, and Fitzpatrick, these guys in the 7K range that they always seem to get themselves, you know, towards the top of the leaderboard in these championship style events. So in the 6K range, we mentioned Charles. My three favorite, aside from Charles in the 6K range, Aaron Wise, Sebastian Munoz, obviously just hit us the 85-1 first round leader, going to go back to the well, playing really well, still lines up decently with this course, and Mito. Mito has no flaws. He doesn't like do anything spectacularly well, but he doesn't have like he's not like, I mean, this is a bad comparison, but he's not like Morikawa, where Morikawa has a fatal flaw, like where his short game could just go absolutely awry and he could play himself right out of a tournament. Or like Spieth, like the putter, he could just absolutely like miss these 5-footers and, you know, putt his way right out of the tournament. Or a guy like Max Homa, his short game, his around the green game sometimes, you know, gets a little wonky. JT off the tee, sometimes he could be inaccurate. Mito is never like top 10 in anything, but he's never like bottom of the barrel. So I like Mito. He could tread water a little bit. Munoz is 10th in the model. He's 4th from 200 plus. We saw it at the Byron. He was sticking those long approaches. He's 12th in the par 4 range, 12th form, 27th in opportunities gained, 12th. You know, Munoz is a really good bent putter too. So I like Sebastian Munoz a lot. And I also do like Aaron Wise. He sticks out from the par 4 range bucket. He's really good around the green. He's really good on approach. I mean, he's just in good form in general. All right, that will do it for the PGA Championship. In the description of this podcast, all the links that you need, promo code to sign up for Fantasy Points, promo code to get you swag from 2 Under. Click them, support the podcast, rate, review the podcast. Good luck with all your DraftKings and bets for the PGA Championship. Enjoy.